This episode of 365 Days of Astronomy is sponsored by iTelescope.net, expanding your horizons in astronomy today, the premier on-demand telescope network at dark sky sites in Spain, New Mexico, and Siding Spring, Australia.
It's the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast, coming in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the NASA Lunar Science Institute podcast, which highlights the latest news and information of the moon, on the moon, and from the moon. It's produced by the NASA Lunar Science Institute at the Ames Research Center in Moffett Field, California.
Hi, this is Nancy Atkinson for the NASA Lunar Science Institute. Since we're all under the same moon, it's my pleasure to cordially invite you to a worldwide event called International Observe the Moon Night. This is the fourth annual event like this, and this year it'll be held on September 22nd, 2012. Joining me today to tell us more about International Observe the Moon Night is Brian Day, who's the Citizen Science Lead and Education and Public Outreach Specialist at the NASA Lunar Science Institute. Hey, Brian. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Nancy.
Well, for anyone who has not heard of International Observe the Moon Night before, can you provide a little background of what it is exactly and how it got started?
Yes, this is a really exciting event that happens around the world at many locations across the country and beyond that, literally in countries around the world, where people get together to look up at the sky and look up in particular at the moon and look at the moon through amateur telescopes, perhaps for the first time for many people. This will be their chance to actually explore the surface of the moon in detail firsthand. It's also a chance to learn about the types of programs of lunar science and exploration that NASA currently has planned and is currently conducting at the moon. So it's a really neat opportunity to learn more about our closest neighbor in space. This got started several years back. Actually, it's a very local event. Back when NASA's LCROSS and LRO robotic missions to the moon, and we had some local events just at a couple of NASA centers. And it was really quite popular. People loved coming and taking a look at the moon and learning about it. And as we've learned more about the moon and our interest in the moon has grown, the interest in this program has grown, and it actually went viral. And so pretty soon, museums and planetariums and science centers and schools were having their own events for International Observe the Moon Night. And so this has quickly gone from just a couple of locations at NASA centers to hundreds of locations around the world.
Oh, that's awesome. What are some of the highlights of what people can see if they look at the moon that night?
Well, that will really depend on how you look at the moon. And if you look at the moon just with your unaided eye, you'll notice we're going to be right at what's called first quarter phase. So you'll see essentially half of the moon showing up there, half in sunlight. The other half will be in shadow. It's lunar nighttime on that half. But just with your unaided eye, you'll be able to notice that there are light and dark areas on the moon. And those actually correspond to highland areas and lowland areas. So the light areas are highlands and the low areas are lowlands. So highlands, light, lowlands, dark. Also, there's a difference in material. It turns out that dark material is actually ancient lava flows. It's basaltic lava that has long since solidified. But you can actually make those out with your eye, and you'll see that they form patches. If you look, some of the biggest patches that you'll see kind of right on that line between light and dark will be the Sea of Serenity, and right down beneath that is the Sea of Tranquility. And that's a good one to look at because we did just unfortunately have the passing of Neil Armstrong. But his family has asked that when people look up at the moon, the next time they look up at the moon, to give it and Neil a wink. And so as you look up there and you can see the Sea of Tranquility, that's a real good time to do that. Now, as you look at the moon through binoculars, you'll see some of these dark areas actually are impact basins. They're areas, giant impact scars, where asteroids slammed into the surface of the moon, and that area, that crater, got flooded with lava that later solidified. So you'll see them in much more detail. Then as you look through a telescope, you'll see even more detail. You'll see that the southern portion of the moon there, and look especially where that line between light and dark goes, that's the line of sunrise moving across the surface of the moon. As you look in the southern area of that line, you'll see a real rough highland terrain full of many, many craters, and it's really interesting to watch that line of sunrise move across the jagged cratered terrain. As you look to the north, you'll see some of the smoother lunar seas or vast solidified lava plains, and you'll see some of them are ringed by giant mountain ranges. And if you look closely in a telescope at the floors of those seas, especially in the vicinity of that terminator, that line between light and dark, you may see fractures in the floors of those lava plains, and even what we call sinuous rills that look like dry riverbeds, but it's actually where molten lava at one time was flowing and carving out the landscape. So there's a lot to see that night.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. Now, this event has been growing every year, and there's hundreds of events planned, so there's probably an event near very many people.
That's right. So what I'd like to encourage people to do is go to observethemoonnight.org. And when you do, you will come upon a beautiful map that will show locations of Observe the Moon Night events all across the country and all around the world. And using this map, you can find where there's going to be an event near you. You can also, by going to this page, learn how you can have your own Observe the Moon Night event. So if your school or organization would like to have its own event, we'll help you out with that. So go to this website, and you can learn more about how to do that or how to find the closest event to you.
All right. Well, I encourage everyone to do that as well. It's a fun night. It's a fun event, and I know everyone will enjoy it. Changing the topic just slightly, we're still going to talk about the moon here, but Brian, you're also the Education and Public Outreach Lead for an upcoming mission, NASA's Lunar Atmosphere and Dust Environment Explorer, or LADEE, which is scheduled for launch in 2013. And you have some citizen science activities that I'd be interested to hear about.
Yes, it turns out that the general public can actually participate in the science of the LADEE mission. Now, the lunar atmosphere is something I grew up learning that, the moon didn't have one, but it does. And we think one of the major sources for the lunar atmosphere may be meteoroid impacts, meteoroids slamming into the moon. Now, amateur astronomers can participate if they have telescopes in the 8 to 14-inch range. They can get involved in a program actually imaging the moon, looking for the flashes of those lunar meteoroid impacts. And we'd love to have that information, to have people looking and recording those during the course of the LADEE mission so we can get a better understanding of the role of impacts. But even if you don't have a 12 to 14-inch telescope, you can still participate, because the majority of the impactors that hit the moon are really, really small, too small to create a flash that'd be visible from here on Earth. But because the Earth and Moon travel together through space, they encounter streams of debris together. And even little tiny pieces of debris, when they hit our atmosphere, become very evident in the form of meteors. When you look up in the sky and you see a typical meteor, the size of the solid piece of debris that's causing that streak in the sky is typically only about the size of a grain of sand. So even a very small impactor can become evident when it hits our atmosphere. What we'd love to have happen is people go out into the night sky during the LADEE mission and actually count meteors and see how that rate changes from night to night. Because then we can make inferences as to what's happening on the lunar surface during that time. The great thing about counting meteors is there are virtually no equipment requirements. You don't need a telescope. You don't need binoculars. Just go out with your eye. I do recommend a reclining lawn chair. You might as well be comfortable. However, as is the case with almost everything else these days, there's even an app for that. So if you go to MeteorCounter.com, you can download a free app. And this app, when it's running on your smartphone, right now it runs on iOS and on Android too, and you go out there with your smartphone knows where you are and it knows what time it is. And so all you have to do is tap your screen whenever you see a meteor. And as you do so, it'll keep track of where you are, what time it is, and exactly when you saw that meteor. And as your session goes during the course of the night, and you're counting away meteors, and then finally you finish and you hit the end button, it will send that information directly to NASA. So with nothing more than your eyeballs and your cell phone, you can become a part of the science of our next mission to the moon. You can help us gather this data that can help us better understand the role of meteorite impacts in the formation of the lunar atmosphere.
Oh, wow. That sounds really exciting. I'm definitely going to have to download that app. Brian, anything else that we should be aware of coming up about the moon?
Well, again, I just want to encourage people to go out and take a look at the moon and perhaps even get inspired to join in and become a part of our exploration of the moon. The recent years have had a series of robotic lunar explorers that have completely changed our understanding of the moon. The moon is a far more complex, interesting, dynamic environment than we ever had believed it to be previously. As many lunar scientists have said, this is not your father's moon. It is really a fascinating place. You can get involved. You can be part of it. So it's your moon. Go out and enjoy it.
Brian, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll have links to all the different topics you talked about today in the show notes for this podcast.
Thank you so much.
To find out more about this topic, visit our website at www.lunarscience.nasa.gov. Any opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of NASA or the NASA Lunar Science Institute. This podcast is produced for educational and information purposes only. On behalf of the NASA Lunar Science Institute, thanks for listening.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by Astrosphere New Media Association. Audio post-production by Preston Gibson. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this audio for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at 365daysofastronomy.org or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until tomorrow, goodbye.